Thank you for listening to the Resources for Integrated Care podcast series, Promising Practices for Promoting Person-Centered Communication and Care Coordination. This podcast is excerpted from a webinar presented live on September 13, 2023. In this podcast, Kim Coons, the Director of Care Management Health Plan Programs at My Choice Wisconsin, shares an overview of diverse needs of populations served and challenges to care coordination and communication experienced by My Choice Wisconsin, and strategies for promoting care coordination to meet complex and diverse member needs.
Hello, everyone. My name is Kim Coons, and I am the Director of Care Management for My Choice Wisconsin. And I'm going to be reviewing our approach to care coordination and sharing some learning and improvement in action steps today. So just providing a little history here on My Choice Wisconsin. My Choice Wisconsin is a managed care organization that serves government-funded programs to seniors and adults with disabilities in over 50 counties. Some of our programs include Family Care Partnership, Family Care, Medicaid, SSI, and Medicare Dual Advantage. My Choice Wisconsin offers two plans for our dual eligible beneficiaries. We have a fully integrated dual eligible special needs plan, which is referred to as a FIDE SNP. The FIDE SNP integrates Medicare, Medicaid, acute and primary health, long-term care, and waiver services through our Medicaid contract with the Wisconsin Department of Health Services. IDTs include care management, registered nurses, and others engaged as needed, for example, nurse practitioner, dietitians, and behavioral health providers. Coordination only is called the co-DSNP, so enrolls fully benefit dual eligible beneficiaries and provides Medicare acute and primary health services while coordinating across the continuum through collaboration with Medicaid providers. And there's also some additional supplemental benefits with that plan. Members are assigned to care coordinator as their primary, and we have an RN and others that are engaged as needed as well. Now I'm going to move into the plan demographics for My Choice. You can see we have a total eligible member population of 1,400 for our FIDE SNP and 800 for our DSNP. So it breaks it out here in some member characteristics. So female versus male, it lays it out as 64 versus 36%. We have the age groups from 18 to 64, 65 to 85, and 82 to 100, with that middle age group, that 65 to 81, coming in with the highest percentage. Race and ethnicity. We have white, Caucasian, African American, and unknown other, with white, Caucasian being the highest percentage at this time. Language, also as follows, is English, Spanish, and unknown slash other. English at 93% is the highest percentage for our plan demographics. Beneficiaries who enroll in My Choice Dual Advantage program, the DSNP, as we referred, are often also enrolled in our family care program. That's currently a 58% enrollment, and SSI has 20% of those dual eligible members enrolled in their plans. This helps to ensure they receive comprehensive services through these FIDE SNP fully integrated plans. So we're going to move into just some challenges and some strategies to meet population needs that we've gone through here. A common challenge in providing care coordination for dual eligible beneficiaries are as follows. We have members that have multiple morbidities with mental health conditions and a lot of social factors that impact their care needs. We have limited health literacy. We have work for shortages and fluctuations in enrollments and caseload sizes. Another challenge here is barriers to access up-to-date member information. That continues to be a really difficult one and barrier that we're continuing to try to get creative with. Strategies to help meet the dual eligible beneficiaries' care coordination and communication needs include building capacity within the Matrix IDT So they have time to work through all of those things that the members are needed in their complex care. Leveraging health information exchange system and community care plans to support coordination. I'll get into that a little bit more specifically further on in the presentation as well. And then implementing initiatives to address health literacy and cultural competence. So moving on to our first strategy here that I'm going to dive a little bit more deeper in is building capacity within Matrix IETs. So here's some of our composition and activities that have helped with that strategy. So our overall composition includes care manager, which is a CM and RN, subject matter experts that include nurse practitioners, physician's assistants, pharmacists, and who are consulted to partner the care and beneficiaries with their complex needs. We also have other subject matter experts from our behavioral health and member health and safety team as well that I would like to add on to there, along with a lot of other ad hoc subject matter experts that we pull in based on the unique member needs. IDT care coordination activities include, but are not limited to, creating and updating care plans as needed based on the beneficiary's preference and changes in condition. We try to keep those documents living, breathing documents, so at any time they're completely reflective of the member's needs and current care. Setting up of health and safety goals, access the providers and the treatment and the beneficiary needs, coordinating appointments, helping the member assess their benefits, including supplemental benefits that they may be offered through their program. Connecting them to help with social determinants of health, so that would be linking them with food, housing, and other community resources. So moving into some best practices for maximizing the IDT capacity are as follows. We have implemented the subject matter experts, like I mentioned on the previous slide. We have nurse practitioners, physician's assistants, pharmacists, behavioral health, and some of those other subject matter experts I have mentioned. They help to assist with increasing interventions and improving outcomes for the complex beneficiaries that we do serve. There's clear roles and areas of accountability across this IDT. Intentionally small caseloads per IDT as well. For the FIDE SNP, they average anywhere from 50 to 55 per caseload. This also allows for travel, and there's pretty intensive home visits with that population as well. The caseload sizes get a lot larger with our dual advantage program. They average anywhere from 100, and it can be actually more than the 120 per caseload. It's really based on the member's needs level and what is all needed, but that care management is handled telephonically. So there's no home visits if they're enrolled only in our DSNP program. Another strategy for maximizing the IDT's capacity is creating a culture of learning, collaboration, staff retention. We have worked on proactive approaches to continuous quality improvement and assurance. We have staff focus groups. We have mock audits. We actually just went through a full CMS audit as well. So those mock audits came in exceptionally handy, and all of our staff were prepared for the actual audit. Opportunities for individual personal growth, regular communication to our staff about training opportunities, lunch and learn opportunities are a big hit within our organization. Here's a case example of quality improvement that we put into action very late in 2022, and it's evolved into this year, 2023. In December of 2022, My Choice developed a new template approach that we use to, and the process is laid out below and lays out the structure and the activities for the IDT. The template approach outlines when additional members are added to the care team meetings. It lists their position, their discipline, their credentials, and helps support team communication. Members of the IDT leave the meeting with clear expectations regarding next steps. So if you look through those boxes here, you can see we had a baseline for IDT composition. it was the sole accountability rests with the CMNRN. We kind of transitioned here into the next blue box for the mock audit and focus groups, where we identified a need for the additional staff support and clearer lines of communication and accountability across all of our care management teams and subject matter experts. With all of that feedback and learning experience, we created a new IDT template and expanded team composition. So the IDT centralizes input across all clinical and lays out subject matter experts for each individual member record. It's very unique and specific to the member. And then this is still in progress, so we're continuing the evaluation of this new IDT template. Early findings do suggest improved understanding of team roles and opportunities for improved member engagement. Lessons learned from IDTs. Team composition works best if it's flexible. So subject matter experts can participate in beneficiaries' care coordination team as needed. So it's best if we have that primary team, the RN and CM, but those other subject matter experts float in and out as needed based on that member's need. Having some really strong communication but flexibility makes that team composition work best. Evaluating caseload sizes on an ongoing basis. Acuity with new enrollments can impact care coordination and work volume. So even if someone has a higher caseload of 50, but they don't have some very significant complex care management going on at the moment, they might be able to serve all those members and excel with all of their needs and documentation. But if an IDT would have some member that has some really elevated care needs or some complex management going on, we might work with them to make sure their caseload size is adjusted appropriately to make sure they have the time to work with those members efficiently. Fully integrated plans show promise for better beneficiary engagement. My Choice experienced more engagement and calls back from beneficiaries in our fully integrated plan. When members have both the long-term care and their acute and primary managed through our fully integrated model, we tend to have a lot of engagement and return phone calls from those members when we're trying to make contact with them. Maximizing IDT capacity supports the maintenance of good communication and along with the beneficiaries. Good IDT communication is just going to make the communication with the beneficiaries excel as well. So moving on to our second strategy, which we are going to talk about leveraging HIE and CCPs to support coordination. Best practices for leveraging HIE to receive timely health encounter data. So this is definitely a really great strategy that we have implemented. So My Choice contracts with WISHEN, which is Wisconsin State Designated Health Information Exchange. We leverage it by WISHEN sends our organization information technology team a data file daily of beneficiaries' health encounters that is directly integrated into our care management system. My Choice also sends real-time messages about beneficiary events at acute and post-hospital facilities, admissions, discharges, visits, medical leave of absences, or deaths. We get notification through our documentation system as well, along with notification from our utilization team in regards to any of those events. My Choice Care Management Documentation System notifies relevant IDT members to assist with timely care coordination for that beneficiary. Early discharge planning time transfers to lower acuity settings, and it helps us schedule those follow-up appointments as well. Now I'm going to move into the kind of more the description of the community care plans. Community care plans provide a pathway of communication between beneficiaries and their healthcare providers. So not only do we have our ongoing care plan that is developed among the core team, but we also have one that is developed with really strong engagement and involvement from the nurse practitioners and physician's assistants if it's deemed appropriate for that member. This helps us to achieve desired health goals and It helps create collaboration with the beneficiary, their primary care physician, and all other IDT staff that are surrounding that beneficiary. For example, if a member goes to three different emergency rooms and that is shared and in their documentation system, we'll help those primary care, those ED visits, help coordinate that member's care and make sure we're all on the same plan for continuity of care. The community care plans include their condition, whatever unique circumstances that member might have, their goals, as well as the name and contact information and the roles of the IDT. So everyone has access to that and we can make contact with each other right away. Community care plans also have been helpful with preventing acute or increased readmissions for complex beneficiaries. Our nurse practitioners or physician's assistants work on developing those processes with those community care plans, and they go through the below process. So they walk through the IDT and the member work proactively with the NP and PA to identify, diagnose, and manage treatment plans for our high-risk beneficiaries. NPs and PAs lead the development of the community care plans and maintain the medical care plan of care in collaboration with the primary care provider. The PCP keeps the record of the community care plan and the awareness of the plan across all medical systems involved in that beneficiary's care. Efforts are underway within MyChoice to integrate the community care plans into the IHE. So we really look forward to that, and that'll be key to continuing the great progress with these. So this next slide just goes through an example of what we all include for these community care plans. So there's background information listed on the community care plans. A beneficiary has increased hospitalization, advanced dialysis, heart failure, long-standing type 2 diabetes, stage 4 chronic kidney disease, and chronic obstructive pulmonary disease, likely nearing stage end-stage heart failure. So this is just an example of some of the background information we would provide on a specific beneficiary with MyChoice and wanting to provide that so anyone reading that care plan knows their overall background of health complexities. Some of the areas of intervention are noted through the beneficiary's care goals, and then it clarifies an ongoing discussion to guide the treatment plan, hospitalization use, and overall care. The community care plan also lists out the IDT activities. It has the name, the organization, contact information for anyone that is involved with that member's care plan. So it could be the RN, CM, PCP, other specialists, nurse practitioner, supportive home care workers, anyone who's really vital in making that member safe return to their community home or wherever they reside. We include any other pertinent community supports or information. If they have a psychiatrist or mental health providers, anything like that, we would also list those out too under the IDT activities section. Beneficiary goals and aligned strategies and interventions. These are key because not only does it tie into the background and the IDT activities, but this is really the main goal of the care plan, right? So this member is just an example, would want to remain in her own home to avoid hospitalizations. So this is minimizing medical appointments that required her to reduce intake for the day because it often impacts her urinary incontinence and quality of life. This member's goal is also to consult with specialists and other providers regarding their goals. So it just lays it out. This is very slimmed down information. The care plans themselves are very robust in nature, but thought it would be helpful just to share a brief example of overall what they include. Moving on to strategy 3, we're going to talk about implementing initiatives to address health literacy and cultural competence. An organization culture that values cultural competence. Cultural competence is a core component of education and training for all of our care management and care coordination staff. Cultural and linguistic appropriate services are defined as services that are respectful of and responsive to health beliefs, practices, and needs of diverse patients. CLAs is a way to improve the quality of services provided to all individuals, which will ultimately reduce health disparities and achieve health equity. Partnerships with community organizations help infuse cultural competence into the design, implementation, and evaluation of our policies and practices and ensure cultural and linguistic appropriateness. We have also worked through establishing a collaborative partnership with an organization in one of our counties, which is called The Beacon. The Beacon is a resource center for people experiencing homelessness. The Beacon assists with housing and navigation services, which offer a mail center, identification assistance, and access to phone, computer lab, and other courses that may be relevant for that member. We do have a care coordinator that visits the Beacon weekly to engage and catch members organically when they're kind of coming in and out of that resource center. This is something new our quality team has worked on. We have engaged Nurse Disrupted. It's a telehealth mental health treatment option for members. My Choice Wisconsin sponsors ours for community members to receive services. And this partnership helps address transportation issues, caregiver responsibilities, emergency department overcrowding, and health care staffing shortages. We're tracking member engagement and impact to well-being as telehealth promotes respect and privacy for our members. My last slide here before I transition it off, I'm going to talk about the health literacy work group that was just implemented in early 2023. Our population health manager had worked to develop a health literacy work group to develop, implement, and evaluate a formalized plan to improve health literacy among beneficiaries and build awareness about the importance of this issue throughout our whole organization. A new health literacy screening tool is on track to be implemented into our care management system January 1st of 2024. We also support members, member input and education on the topic of health literacy to improve care coordination and outcomes. All written materials are developed at a sixth grade reading level to help with that. Demographic data, including member language needs or preferences, are tracked in our internal data system and documentation system, and they're analyzed for purposes of improving data accuracy and reliability and evaluating the impact of the CLA's standard on health equity and outcomes. The Health Literacy Workgroup is also responsible for proactively ensuring My Choice meets CMS requirements for our digital health literacy for Medicare Advantage enrollees. So we're screening Medicare members for digital health literacy level in their screening, and we're offering a digital health education program to beneficiaries and documenting types of education received.
Thank you for listening. This podcast is presented by the Lewin Group and is supported through the Medicare and Medicaid Coordination Office at the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services. MMCO is dedicated to helping beneficiaries enrolled in Medicare and Medicaid have access to seamless, high-quality health care that includes the full range of covered services in both programs. To support providers in their efforts to deliver more integrated, coordinated care, MMCO is developing technical assistance and actionable tools based on successful innovations and care models. To learn more about current efforts and resources, please visit our website, resourcesforintegratedcare.com. You can also find us on Twitter, recently rebranded as X. Our handle is @integrate_care. Or follow Resources for Integrated Care on LinkedIn to stay up to date with our recent products and technical assistance.